Hello, craft beer lovers. Welcome to the Hop and Barrel Happy Hour. I'm Justin.
I'm James.
And we're here tonight with the highly influential Alyssa.
Hello.
And our event coordinator extraordinaire, Alexa.
Hello.
And of course, producer Casey.
Hey.
The Hop and Barrel Happy Hour is brought to you by Blind Ninja Studios in the beautiful River Falls, Wisconsin. Before we get started, we'd like to give a quick shout out to the Black Belt patrons. Andy Thompson, Bjorn Bjornsson, Brian Jones, Devin Stinson, Phil Feldman, and Hop and Barrel Brewing. You can support Blind Ninja Studios on Patreon at patreon.com/blindninjastudios or by following the patron link at the bottom of the blindninjastudios.com homepage. This is episode 29, which is a special edition focusing on our recent journeys to GABF, the Great American Beer Festival, and we're going to talk a little bit about beer events and festivals as a whole. So, let's crack open a beer. James.
Yes.
What are we drinking this evening?
We are having Mullet Man. Mullet Man, it is our lightest lager yet, without sacrificing flavor. Correct me if I'm wrong, it's a rice-based lager?
It is a rice-based lager.
Yep. And it's very high on the poundability scale.
So what, may I ask, is the poundability scale?
So, the poundability scale, it's how easily does this go down? Is this something that you need to sip and savor over time? Which would be, you might think, low on the poundability scale, you know, one or two. But no, in fact, the poundability scale is inverted. Something that's highly poundable is a one or a two. Something that pounds you is a 9 or a 10. So I would say Mullet Man, clearly a 1 or 2 on the poundability scale.
Totally a 1. Definitely a 1. Everyone's taking notes at the tables. This is very scientific, truly objective.
This is just the first time I've heard the official definition of what poundability
you
is.
You didn't hear that after the whole weekend?
You didn't hear?
I just thought it was a fun word. I didn't know there was a whole definition.
James I had a full definition the entire trip, and then we were trying to confuse the drunks by making 1 being the most poundable, 10 being the hardest to pound.
Everyone I went to during GABF, I said, would you describe this as poundable? And most of the time they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I would like that,
well,
please.
Like, I knew what poundable meant, but how easily it goes down was that little
That's
definition.
That's the poundability.
That's the poundability scale. Highly poundable. As discussed, this episode will focus more on events, both from this past summer as well as upcoming events for the fall. And on that note, for James asks a random beer question. This one's kind of obvious, but what was your favorite beer you had during GABF? Let's go around the table.
I'll start. Gonna go with one of my favorites. It was still Pliny the Elder. Lived up to the hype. I mean, I've had it before. It was wonderful. There was a lot of others that kind of stuck out, especially Ambers this year were there to really show in a lot of form. But Pliny was worth the wait. Had its own line, which kept it moving a little quicker this year. But that was my favorite.
As long as people weren't trying to go through the line, it was...
Yeah. You really prefer Pliny over Blind Pig, huh?
No, I do not. But okay. Blind Pig was not there.
Okay.
I'll go next. That was also my first time having Pliny, and I was really surprised by how aromatic and bold it smelled, but also how smooth it was and how light and crisp compared to some of the other heavy IPAs I've had like that. So that was... That lived up to the hype. I would probably say my favorite that I had, though, was from, is it True? They had a 2.8% table session called Lower. It was really light, really crisp. It also had kind of a peppery flavor to it, so it wasn't fruity, anything like that. It was a 1 on the poundability scale.
I think
that was very poundable.
Yeah.
It was they billed it as like a session saison, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go next. One of my favorite ones was from Golden City. It was actually a sour. I haven't touched a sour in a while, but it was the Pink Guava Bomber. And we were drinking that by the pitcher. It was very poundable, probably a 2 on the poundability scale.
Yeah, that's really good.
Other than that, we went to a bar, and I can't remember the name of it because I was many beers deep, but it was some sort of amber, and these guys know I love a good amber. But there were far too many head that night. It's less on the poundability scale, but not in my definition.
My favorite was actually a pineapple shandy. was called Bikini Bottom.
Oh, yeah.
From Hoppy Dude Brews out of Hinckley, Ohio. I don't know. We were towards the end and we were trying to find what was easy. And oh my gosh, it was like the perfect amount of sweet and tart.
Yep.
It just went down so well. Probably a 1 or 2 on the poundability.
Nice.
Yeah, I'd say that was my big takeaway from years past bigger festivals. There was so much more focus on lower alcohol and not just lagers, but I don't mean lagers by any sense, but it was definitely more of a session type event. And even the breweries around, everyone was focusing on beers you'd have 2 or 3 of, lower alcohol, more approachable, less bold, less hoppy.
And me too, like for the most part, I tried to kind of stick to one thing rather than the entire rainbow. So I mainly stuck to lighters, Kolsches, lagers, and a few IPAs, but there were options everywhere I went. So that was...
You didn't want to taste all the flavors, James?
There were a lot of flavors to be had.
James has many flavors.
Thank you. Kind of you to say.
See, I did the opposite that you did. I tried to go for things that normally I wouldn't drink.
Sure.
Just because this was probably the best opportunity I was going to have to try the things I wouldn't normally try.
Yeah.
But yeah, the one you guys are talking about, like the lower alcohol beers, that one that Nathan and I waited for in line.
Yeah.
That 37% that Utopia's.
Oh.
I'll tell you, it's not easy to get drunk on 1 ounce pours, but that one did it.
So I was not in the mood for that style of beer at that exact moment.
Were you hungover, James?
Regardless, it was so uniquely bold and flavorful. And when I just had a sip of it, it was a cacophony of flavor washing upon my palate that just did not end. And then I went back to the Kolsches.
Would you say that one pounded you?
That was a 10.
So I guess I should have given a little context for listeners who aren't familiar. The Great American Beer Festival is, I think it's still billed as the largest festival in North America. It is everything you'd think about a local beer festival with breweries from around the country and international. There's a huge contest associated with it and a long weekend load of events at local breweries. So it's kind of a destination for breweries to go see what developments are going on in the country and just try a bunch of beers.
Yeah, we had a great time.
It was well worth going.
Yeah.
It was a trip.
It was
a trip.
So besides the beer, James, what was your favorite part of the adventure?
So I had kind of one from each day. A lot of great moments. I'll let somebody else talk about day one because that was an adventure in and among itself.
I think Alexa and I can
start at day one. Should we start at the beginning?
Let's start at the beginning.
We always start at the beginning.
Once upon a time.
So I think the best way was something I said in passing after, and it turned out to be true. It was like the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles had a sequel. And it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
And it was much worse.
And everything that could go sideways did. Yeah. And it just seemed to be the universe.
You know, it didn't start out too bad. We were going to be checking a concert out on Friday. That got canceled. The plane was a little delayed. Not too many problems at the airport. Just very bumpy ride.
Yeah.
Very, very bumpy ride. And then you wait your typical hour for a car.
Hour.
Dude, hour. It was like 2, 2.5.
We waited a long time for a couple cars.
And James and I almost DoorDashed to the car place.
We waited a long time for cars.
We almost DoorDashed pizza.
Yeah, we did.
You gotta use Turo, man.
And then about 50 minutes in traffic.
Yep.
And then the hotel, just say there was a fiasco with the rooms that's still being sorted out.
I mean, they had our reservation, but didn't have record of payment. But confirmed the reservation and the payment, and then charged us again anyway. So
anyway, long day of travel, all easily to overcome. We're excited, we're hungry. So
we are very hungry.
We're hangry.
Very much.
Ravenously hangry.
But we're altitude.
Nothing has ruined anyone's day.
Yet.
So we head out to go to True. It was really busy in there, so instead of going to the brewery right away, we go next door to Punch Bowl to grab some food. We think we get lucky because we park in an open spot behind the building, have our meal. Thank God James had leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
We go to put the leftovers in the car and find out both vehicles have been towed within about 40 minutes of parking.
Where do we go? to the tow yard.
Well, some of us stayed at the bar and got drunk.
For 4 hours. Four hours we spent at that tow yard trying to get our vehicles back and work out a deal. And
with you negotiating, me litigating, Lillian pacing back and forth, I think performing some type of curse, I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, man.
Checks out.
What a team.
Yep.
Then what happened once you got the cars out of the lot?
Some screaming.
What did you
say? Well, we drove on a side road. We drove on a side road. I pulled up next to Justin, turned my Slim Shady down real low, and was like, "How you doing?" And he's like, "I'm fine. Let's just go find somewhere to drink." All right, cool. So he pulls ahead of me. I crank my Slim Shady, and just over my Slim Shady with my bumping radio, I hear in the distance, like, "God damn it, Denver!" And a fist out the window. He was all right. He did okay.
And then everyone bounced back. Everyone bounced back.
Sometimes you just gotta scream.
No, you did.
So went back to the hotel. James showed up half an hour later. Hey, James.
I get a call from Justin. He's like, "So we're somehow 45 minutes away. Can you guys find a way back?
5 miles.
Yeah. Can you find a way back?"
It's like we went back. We got some spots because, oh yeah, it's a great brewery. There's some great Nashville hot chicken. They'll be back in no time.
There's some great beers.
No. It was genuinely the longest 5 mile stretch of any city that I have ever driven because there were stoplights every 10 feet and we hit every freaking red.
And a police barricade at one point.
A police barricade.
Well, and then we get back and we're like, "Oh, let's just go enjoy the hot tub." We're in there and it's 11 o'clock. The guy comes in right at the dot. "Get out or I'm calling the cops." We're like, "We cannot catch a break right now. We just
That was the next day. No, we got back after 1 o'clock.
No, that was the same night.
No,
that was the next night.
We got back
night.
After
That was
one.
The next night after we got kicked out of the
it
bar.
Yeah. Yeah, we got home at like a yeah. 1. We see Justin at the bar getting drinks. We're like, all right,
D,
fine.
Trying to get some D. It was a whole thing.
It was a whole thing.
That was Friday. Yeah.
So
that was the first day. Which,
that was our fiasco.
That was the first story we've really
Day one
told
didn't
you.
Happen.
Yeah.
We passed on day one. Day one doesn't exist. Yeah. Moving forward,
From
can
there.
Only get better.
Did you two have a favorite story?
Come back to
you. Oh, man. Well, my damn it Denver story kind of tied into day one, hearing Justin scream expletives over the top of my radio out of closed windows was a good one. Honestly, my favorite moment being in Denver, and it's kind of just like a sullen moment, nothing like exciting, was when we all rented the Lime scooters and just watching like all of my adult friends, and I say friends because these people aren't just my coworkers or my friends, just child out. You know, we rode through this residential neighborhood and they've got these little bells on them. So you just hear tring, tring, like every couple seconds and everyone's riding in circles and living their best life. And the Lime scooters had to be it for me, guys.
That was really fun.
It was so wholesome.
What was the name of our biker gang?
It was either
the Highly Poundables.
It was either the Highly Poundables or the Bubble Gums.
The Bubble Gums.
Because who's going to mess with the Bubble Gums? Yeah, I did really cherish. I really cherish those moments of being outside, whether it was when we were on the Lime scooters or when we went to Red Rocks. Oh. That was just Red gorgeous. Awesome.
I think one of my favorite moments was when James and I went to go pick up pizza the last night.
I think you should tell this story.
Yeah, it sounds good. And James has this very large obsession for pizza. But he would tell me all the time that when he'd be sitting on his couch eating his pizza, his Fitbit would notify him, like, "Hey, nice workout. Good job."
It's like, "You're up to 120 beats per minute." I'm like, "Don't look at this, honey. It's malfunction."
You're like, "I'm eating pizza." So anyways, James and I go just get 4 of the most deliciously made pizzas I've ever had. We get in the car, and I'm holding on to the pizza, and all of a sudden I hear, and I'm like, James. "Are we heavily breathing right now because we are thinking about pizza?" And he's like, "I didn't even realize I was
doing
that.
I didn't even notice it."
But yeah. He's just...
Part of that, in my defense, was because right before I almost...
Alyssa's playing fetch with the dog and almost just broke like 12 bottles of liquor.
Right before placing the pizzas securely in the vehicle, I almost dropped all 4 of them in the ground. So... a little bit of panic maybe had something to do with it, but...
We were depending on you.
We delivered.
We delivered.
Didn't we?
Yeah.
And they were fantastic. So a big shout out
to pizza. They're so good.
Big shout out to Blue Pan Pizza. Those were Perfect. And exactly
what... Shout out
to
Justin for not letting us order Domino's.
Shout out for Justin for buying pizzas.
Yeah.
I hate it when I have to stop people from ordering Domino's. It's the worst.
Everyone was tired and it was just settling for the easy thing. I'm like, come on, get something you can't get anywhere else. I didn't care what, but I'm like, I'm not eating good.
Domino's. Like, Domino's is 0.4 miles away, Justin.
But Domino's just tastes like regret. And it settles in as soon as you place the order. You're like, I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, and then, you know.
It tastes like a hangover.
Yeah.
I live in Somerset. It's, you know.
Alyssa like would know.
What the kids get all the time. Just,
yeah.
In related news, our sponsorship with Domino's Pizza. we're really excited.
I can cut that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Edit, drop that.
Yeah, as soon as Domino's sponsors, I'll cut it.
Yeah. Really, my other big, like, fun memory throughout the weekend was everyone was really having a great time, and I feel like it was kind of a peak and a pinnacle at the Dierks Bentley bar. When for a long time everyone was just
serenading each other. James was
good
tugging everybody multiple times.
When I get to that level, I appreciate everyone.
Yeah,
very much.
He loved everyone.
His
drunk
hugs are the best. They are like, they're just, it's such a good squeeze, and it's like he means it, you know.
My favorite part about that bar was earlier in the day, I dared James to just go up to somebody, no context, and say, how poundable is that? And he came up to me, found a guy with a matching mustache, and he was like, hey, this guy says that's a 1 on the poundability scale. Take our professional picture.
I was wondering why that photo was in the share.
Oh, yeah.
Now I know.
Is that what that was?
Now we know.
I was very curious why this random guy with a mustache was also in.
Oh, yeah. We had a great time. And it's funny because going back through my text messages, kind of towards the end of the evening at Dierks Bentley, I remember sending Justin a text that just said something to the effect of, these are the good times. And within minutes of hitting send, things went off the rails.
And James went to bed happy.
And
that's all that matters.
I went to bed. I don't know.
Yep.
About, yeah.
We were roommates. We can vouch. We both went to bed.
Yep. So that was another good night. So
let's talk about reason 212 why we lost a deposit on the rental cars.
It came back.
What do you think? So that was some of the fun we had at JBF.
Yes. So thinking about these events, and we're talking a little bit about the same thing that everyone kind of sees, the front end, how they run, the fun around it, the antics and all the shenanigans. But there's a lot that goes into making these events happen. And it's one thing to think about, obviously, getting the beer to the site, getting the staffing there. But the planning for these events, even the local ones, it starts months in advance. I don't know if there's anything you kind of want to, Alexa, staring off in the distance thinking about it.
I'm thinking about which ones that are coming up. But no, it is. You know, oh my gosh, the amount of emails that we've gotten compared to, I guess, years in the past. It's just, you know, we obviously want to be at every single one of them. So, you know, we try and hit as many as we can just because there's so much fun, especially like the lacrosse area has picked up immensely this year. We've had a huge presence in lacrosse with tastings and festivals and, you know, we get the email and within a couple of days, you know, we're trying to get it staffed and between some of the brewers and Alyssa and it's been really nice.
I get my own category there. I'm a brewer now.
You are, I keep forgetting that.
You are in
you
your
crossed
own
over to
category.
The dark side, and I'm not
no,
happy
no,
about it.
No, you're just an influencer. Regardless of the area, it's influence.
Yeah, so it's not just getting the beer and selling the tickets. It's, you know, us as breweries get these emails and communication about, you know, here's the size, here's where we are, this is what it is. And generally, we, you know, I think everything kind of quieted down after COVID. There were a lot fewer festivals.
Yep.
Big ones
yep.
came back. And now this summer, they hit hard. I mean, you've kind of stepped into a new role with us about these events, even just planning them.
Yeah, it's been nice just because it's given me another perspective to the other side of the business as well, other than just being behind the bar and giving recommendations. It's kind of, gosh, I don't even know. It's been nice too, kind of figuring out like where a lot of these presences are needed. You know, lacrosse has become big, like I said, but we're starting to pop up again in the north. And then we've even made our way over into my hometown, which wasn't something I thought would ever happen. You know, we're moving over to Green Bay now. We're going down south. It's getting crazy.
Yeah,
it's been...
I know, we kind of had a rule. We typically only do events in areas we are distributing.
Yeah.
But now that is basically all of Wisconsin, to be short, and a good chunk of northern Minnesota. So it's added a lot, but it's, you know, you get these emails, you get staff arranged, you figure out what beers make the most sense for that market, then you coordinate with your distributor. There's a lot of layers, so, you know, kind of think about that. When you go to these events, especially even some of the smaller ones, really give a shout out to the breweries that show up. When you're at your local neighborhood one and there's a brewer there, it's more than just showing up and talking. There's a lot of work that goes in for the planners and everyone working at those tables. So
not just someone showing up with beer. There's a whole song and dance that goes along with it.
And everyone's a little different. So you can't just walk in saying, this is what I did last time. It changes, and some of them change year to year. So there's a lot of detail that goes into making sure that's all coordinated.
It definitely gives me a new respect for the people higher up, too, that are coordinating these events, because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yep.
But kind of like you mentioned, lacrosse has been a hotbed. We'll be at Frothbite this year, which is a big one in December. And I would say outside of the month of November, we're pretty much in 3 or 4 events every month year round, and probably about the same next year. So, you know, we don't always post on these things in our social media because it would literally take over talking about them. So kind of check out your local area, look at these festivals. It's something we've talked a little bit about. How can we advertise these festivals we're going to in a way that's not obnoxious or takes over social media or things? I mean, it truly would. So check those things out and kind of be aware. I think, not to tease too much, but we might show up in force at Gichigumi in Superior this year.
I'm so excited.
We'll see.
I hope so. That was so much fun last year. Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
So, with that little talk on festivals, as far as monthly events, James.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to get the distribution news?
Oh, yes. Yes. So, kind of like the format for tonight, we're going to have a little bit more focused podcasts on distribution and brewing side and tap room outside of just our usual kind of newsletter format. So I'll save some of the big stuff, but we do have a couple things I want to specifically mention. We are going to be pushing a little bit further north into Minnesota, not just with Bill's acquiring Superior like we talked about in the last podcast, but Brainerd is about to be added into our lineup here shortly, and we'll have a rep back covering Superior with D. So St. Cloud. St. Cloud, Brainerd, Duluth, that whole band north of the Metro is going to be covered pretty well by us here in the next couple weeks.
And did I see something about Dells on Tap and Round Man?
Thank you. There were 2 events this month. I appreciate you, James. Your notes are much better than mine. Dells on Tap is another festival we've really enjoyed doing the last few years. It is coming up in about 2 weeks. Yes, it is the 14th of October. I do believe there are some tickets available. It is one of the better run festivals out there. The Wisconsin Dells Chamber of Commerce treats all the brewers exceptionally well and puts on a really good festival. There's a lot of stuff that goes on around it at some of the local bars. The Showboat has a great takeover with a bunch of breweries. But if you're in the area, I highly recommend checking out Dells on Tap. And then, not to spoil their news, but I know they're putting something together. Round Man is debuting a little sneak peek of their new barbecue and production brewery facility on the 28th of October. Don't have all the details yet. We're going to be there pouring some of our beer and kind of supporting them as they kick off their expansion. But in Siren, I'm sure they'll be talking about it, so check out their social media. But really great people at a pretty local brewery that would be awesome to support if you're going to be around on the 28th of October.
Where's their new production facility going to be?
Well, other than knowing it's in Siren, I don't recall.
Okay, because they're based out of Spooner, right?
Spooner. Sorry, I apologize.
Those are
another S town in the
very
north.
Different places.
Yes, I am aware. I am very aware. Spooner, not Siren. I apologize because.
How dare you,
Spooner?
I mean, at least it's not Hayward.
Yeah.
What do residents of Spooners call themselves?
Spooners.
Spooner, right?
I don't know. All I know is that they blow and Hayward sucks. So
You haven't, you haven't heard the spooner
blows? Oh, spooner socks, Hayward blows. That's it.
Dude.
I thought the train trestle says spooner blows.
Nope, it says spooner sucks. Every year the senior class paints it on there.
I didn't think they were that good to be alliterative. Like, I mean, they're Hayward people, so...
They forgot one of the O's in Spooner one year.
I apologize to anyone listening to this podcast.
We abruptly painted over that.
Anyway, I do apologize to Round Man for getting that wrong. My S's, whatever. But either way, it's in the same town. I'm not quite sure of the location. I don't believe it's downtown at their beautiful current location. But yeah, it's around town.
Very nice. As for the tap room, rather than talking about upcoming events, I really just want to take a moment to really look back and appreciate the absolute blast that we had this year during our Rock the Lot series. Some of my favorite moments were performances by newcomers like Lemon Lob, Nectarus, as well as the packed performances by Firewater. Everyone just really performed and had everyone felt such a great, joyful time. Of course, Dipping Tacos from Oscar, Smashies by the Layman's, Shaved Beef Sandwiches from Olive Foods was a perfect complement to our beers. So thank you to our chefs, to our entertainers, to everyone who made a Rock the Lot series such a pleasure for everyone. And can't wait to do it again next year.
All right. Well, I think we're kind of wrapping up, but we had a final note I think James wanted to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry to end this on somewhat of a somber note. It's been about 6 or 7 weeks since our last podcast. And in that time, we've lost one of the gems of the city of Hudson and one of our most regulars that we had in the tap room, Doc. We miss him every day. We hope to carry on his traditions, his laughs, making the beers that we know he would have loved. From my point of view, he was a person who strived to put more goodness into the world, and I hope that we can all remember to try and do the same thing, both professionally and personally. We miss you, and we love you, Doc.
As Doc would say, you are awesome.
Love you all. Have a wonderful night.
So, cheers to all of the listeners. You can find our beer throughout the St. Croix Valley and all of western and northern Wisconsin. We're also available in the northeast Minnesota and the eastern Twin Cities metro and soon-to-be Brainerd area. If your local establishment doesn't have our beer on tap or on the shelf, please ask for Hop and Barrel. It does make a huge difference. So thank you for tuning in this month. If you have any questions, comments, or things for the good of the group, hit us up on Facebook at Hop and Barrel Brewing, Instagram at Hop and Barrel, TikTok Hop and Barrel, or you can just send a message to Casey at feedback@blindninjastudios.com. Thank you, everyone. You are awesome.